Today, the church celebrates the great feast of Pentecost, which ends our 50-day Easter season. This is the day when, in the words of the Catechism, the Holy Spirit was manifested, given, and communicated as a divine person to the church. This is the day which commemorates the beginning of a new age, the time of the church, when Christ lives and acts in and with his church. Today is the fulfillment of the Paschal mystery, the last chapter in the story of Christ's suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. In today's homily, I have two intentions. The first is to put Pentecost in context. How does Pentecost complete our Easter season? The second is to consider what Pentecost means for us today. How are we to live in Pentecost? The story of Pentecost begins at the beginning of the book of Mark with John the Baptist's prophetic words, "I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In the upper room at the Last Supper, Jesus offers his priestly prayer. He tells his disciples he's leaving them, but not abandoning them. He goes to prepare a place for them. He will ask the Father, and the Father will send them an advocate, the Spirit of truth, who will always be with them. Receiving the Spirit will enable the disciples to see that the Father and Jesus are one. They will understand that they are alive in Christ and that Christ lives within them. In me, you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Three nights later, on Easter evening, as we read in our gospel today, the resurrected Christ appears to the disciples in the same upper room. He shows them his wounds and says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." As recorded in the first chapter of Acts at Jesus' ascension to heaven 10 days before Pentecost, he again promises his disciples the gift of the Holy Spirit. With this gift, they will be endowed with great power to be missionaries to the ends of the earth. They return to the upper room to await this gift, devoting themselves with one accord to prayer. In our first reading today from the second chapter of Acts, the disciples are all gathered together in one place. The Spirit comes with power, and in a mighty wind and in tongues of fire. All are filled with the Spirit. As a consequence of this gift, they are emboldened to speak of the mighty works of God. Jews from throughout the world are amazed when they hear of Jesus' death and resurrection in their own languages. Many are converted to Christianity. The Apostolic Church is formed that day, a church that is one, holy, and universal. The first reading at last night's Vigil Mass was from Genesis and told the story of Babel. Recall in that account how men in their pride attempted to build a great tower in order to rival God in power and majesty. God confused their language, dividing them into a multitude of nations. At Pentecost, the curse of Babel is abolished. The people of the New Covenant will speak a common language. The Spirit is gathering the nations. So summarizing, Pentecost begins with a prophetic promise. It continues with preparation in prayer and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a powerful gift. And it culminates in a new people being formed and a peace that passes all understanding. If you remember nothing else from today's homily, remember the five P's of Pentecost: promise, prayer, power, people, and peace. These events of Pentecost 2,000 years ago still have a great relevance for us today. Pope John Paul II taught us that Pentecost was not an isolated event in the life of the church, something over and done with. He declares, and I'll add a few words to his at the end, "We have the right, the duty, and the joy to tell you that Pentecost is still happening. We can legitimately speak of the lasting value of Pentecost. We know that 50 days after Easter, the apostles gathered together in the same upper room as had been used for the first Eucharist, and in which they had met the risen one for the first time. They discover in themselves the power of the Holy Spirit who descended upon them, the strength of him whom the Lord had promised so often as the outcome of his suffering on the cross. Fortified in this way, they began to act, that is, to perform their role. Thus is born the Apostolic Church. But even today, and herein the continuity lies, the Basilica of St. Peter in Rome, and every temple, every oratory, every place, even St. Gabriel's Church in Prairie du Chien, where the disciples of the Lord gather, is an extension of that original upper room. The Pope is reminding us that the Spirit will descend and guide us whenever two or more are gathered in his name. The Spirit came this morning when we prayed the opening words of the Pentecost sequence, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." In a few moments, he will come to unite us when we offer each other the sign of peace. He will come when Father consecrates our gifts of bread and wine. He truly comes at every liturgy the Church offers. Anne and I experienced the presence and the work of the Spirit at our first Sunday Mass as Catholics. We were in the crypt of the Basilica of St. Francis Assisi in Italy. Gathered around the altar were pilgrims from all over the world. And while the Mass was not in our native language, but in Latin, we did not understand the words being spoken. We knew the truths that words were conveying. When the sign of peace was exchanged, we experienced the unity of the Apostolic Church. We knew we had a deep kinship with those strangers whose hands we shook that morning. We also sensed a spirit of unity with the saints, particularly with Francis, whose mortal remains lay underneath the altar. Furthermore, we knew that we were joined with all our Christian brothers and sisters throughout the world, for the Spirit binds us with every man and woman, past, present, and future, who speaks and lives the words, "I love you, Lord Jesus." In Christ, differences and distinctions disappear. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for all are one in Jesus. Before this altar, divisions cease. Here God looks at our hearts. Adoring and obeying, we become his beloved children. In Christ there is no east or west, in him no north or south, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. In preparing this homily on Thursday afternoon, I was thinking a great deal about our world of 2017, a world filled with discourse where our families are too often in conflict, and our politics too often a shambles. I thought of the unity that Pentecost brought to the ancient world, drawing people together as the Roman world fell apart. This unity created hospitals, universities, and countless charitable organizations. It gave us the concept that all people have inalienable rights and dignity. This Pentecostal unity created Western civilization. Taking a break from my preparation, I watched the CBS Evening News with my wife. The last story was about the Beatles and the 50th anniversary of their best-selling album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. The reporter ended the piece quoting a music critic who said that the Western world was never as united in the last 200 years as the week the album came out. Now, I must confess, I like the Beatles. Who of my generation does not know many of their tunes and lyrics? But this is a pathetic statement. And if there is even a grain of truth in it, our culture is in serious trouble. A Lonely Hearts Club Band uniting us? There is nothing more tragic in the world than the lonely human heart. God made our hearts for love, for relationship, for giving. The unloving heart, loving neither God nor man, is indeed the loneliest thing in the world. So as we leave here today to celebrate life's triumphs and endure its trials, let us never forget, we are not an abandoned people. God's promise of the Holy Spirit, He will not revoke. We are to pray for that gift, asking that its power fill us, guide us, and protect us. He will lead His people into a peace that passes all understanding. God has overcome the world. Easter has shattered the darkness. We are forged as His Pentecost people. Our call, brothers and sisters, is to never lose faith, never give up hope, never stop loving. This Pentecost, let us pray for a powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit for our families, for our parish, for our community and country, and for the world. Pentecost was and is and will always be. Lord God, renew the face of the earth. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Vene Sancte Spiritus.